Now, I'm going to ask a question. It's one of those things where you don't speak out loud, but I want you to be thinking about it. When are you most like God? I thought about that. I heard this a while back. Sometimes we think, well, it's when I'm out in the woods and I'm praying, or if I'm being holier than usual, or if I'm worshiping at church. But today I want you to be thinking about that through my whole talk. When are you most like God? And ladies, we are most like God when we forgive, because that is the ultimate thing He did on the cross for you and me. So I want you to think about that. Now, I want you to, we must live in an environment of forgiveness. You know, it's not just a one-time thing. You've got to develop this environment of forgiveness. Because if you don't, then you know what it turns into. Bitterness and anger. And this is so counterculture to our culture today. It just goes against our culture today. And unforgiveness makes us a prison to our past. And we don't want to be a prisoner to our past. And you know what Eric talked about last night. So I want you to look at Ephesians 4, 31 through 32 first. That's the first scripture I'd like to look at. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Okay. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now here's the best part. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Can we be guilty, and I have, of calling our unforgiveness, well, I'm just frustrated. And we women do that a lot, don't we? Well, I'm just frustrated. You know, I'm not really not forgiving my child for doing that. I'm just frustrated, or we're angry, but I have found a lot of times when we're not forgiving, then we're really mad at God because we're upset with the circumstances and what's going on in our life. And I just think this is just amazing. We didn't even plan this. They didn't even know what I was talking about. Bree did this sign, pursue peace with all people. And that's beautiful, and it's behind the cross, because that's what we want to think about. We are most like God when we forgive. Now, unforgiveness leads to bitterness, and that defiles not only us, but others around us. Sort of like, have you ever played out in the yard and the sprinkler's doing all this? And, you know, if you get anywhere near it, it's going to get you wet. And that's what the bitterness does in our life when we're unforgiving and when we're angry and bitter. It just, you know, a lot of times I just think, well, it's just my problem. But it is spewing. It is flowing. And we want to remember that. Now, let's look together at an example in Scripture where God is a forgiving God. And I want you to see this in the parable of the prodigal son. So turn to Luke 15, 11 through 24. Would someone like to read that for me? Or maybe I better read it because I think I'm on tape. That's right. So Pam better turn. I forgot we're recording. It'd be kind of weird. Tape. Who is that in the background? Luke 15. I should have already had it, right? 11 through 24. Ready? And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, you know the other son, he just felt like, that was just wrong. I can't believe you did. I have worked for you. And so he had bitterness and unforgiveness. But what I want us to see in this verse is I want to drive home some points on forgiveness of God. Jesus tells of this wretched son who hates his father and goes and wastes his life. Then the son stumbles back home. This father, you know, in today's society, people would say, well, this father had the right. He could hate him or resent him or be frustrated with him. This father, even in the beginning, when the son shamed him, he never tried to preserve his own dignity to honor him. I remember that. The father never tried to say, well, let's just make sure my dignity's right. It's the son's fault. He has shamed me. He never did that. Now, in verse 20, when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Now, this father sees his son way off in the distance. Now, you got to remember, everybody in the village knew about the shame that this son had brought because this father was very prominent in the village. Now, this father realizes there's no telling what they might say to him or do to him. So, you know what he does? He pulls up his robe. Now, I want you to get the picture. In the Eastern culture, they don't do that. Now, here guys run around in shorts and whatever, and we don't think anything about it. But in that day, a Middle Eastern man would not show his legs. That's why they wore the long robes. He pulls that robe off, and if you look, he starts running towards his son. He's sprinting to his son. And I heard this thing that, you know, Middle Eastern men, they moonwalk. You know, they're like real. They're not running. I want you to think, this wasn't an outrageous thing this man did. Outrageous in that day. Now, to us, we wouldn't think nothing about it. But just think of the outrageous thing that this father did when he saw his son and he wanted to greet him before he met everything else. Now, I want you to see the very important part of this because it's going to make sense when we bring this all together. The word for the robe that he wore means that what brings me honor. So his robe brought him honor. You know, everything meant something back then. We don't have a lot of that now. So when he pulled that up and showed his legs, he was almost dishonoring himself. And who dishonored himself, sort of, you know, for us? Christ. He didn't do anything wrong. This father didn't do anything wrong. And Christ did an outrageous thing. He was sinless. And he went to the cross and was shamed, you know, for us. We just can't relate to this sometimes, I think, how important this whole picture was. Now, he puts his arm around his son. He kisses him on the neck. He puts a robe on him and he throws a party. Christ runs after us because we are dead in our trespasses and sin, and there's no way we can come to Christ. And I don't care what we've done, because we are born with that sin. We are like that son, and we don't deserve that father's attention. But then Christ does something outrageous for us. He runs after us and he embraces us. He forgives us of our sins. He cleanses us. And what does he do? He puts the robe of righteousness on our account. Isn't that beautiful? And we throw a party because we're saved now. We belong to Christ. Now this, when Jesus is talking, he'd been telling a lot of parables. So he's telling this parable to the Pharisees and the scribes. And these scribes and Pharisees have no idea what brings joy to God. They really don't. All they, you know, they know the scriptures and they go by the law, but they have no clue what brings joy to God. And do you know what brings joy to God? If one sinner repents and trusts Christ, that brings joy. Not just the angels, but God. When that wretched person, that wretched sinner comes to Christ, because God longs to forgive us and longs to. And every day he keeps forgiving us. And I didn't even know what Eric was going to preach last night. So I thought that was amazing. Because he about said it. Right. So remember, you are never more like God than when you forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says, and why is that true? The last part. Because as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ladies, this is the high ground. This is the high ground. I would like to share with you today a personal journey on forgiveness with you. It has to do with my family, my father. There's some items on the table. And first, when I share this story, I want to tell you, I don't want you to think that I perfectly do this all the time. No, this is something I got to do all the time. I got to work on it. It takes much grace, but it's God's will, and it takes a lot of grace in our life to forgive. It does sometimes. I've been a pastor's wife for 13 years, and I have more stories than you can stake a stick at, because Pam's always putting her foot in her mouth and always getting into trouble. But you have to learn to forgive. Because like I said, that's God's will. And so there's a personal story in my life I'd just like to share from my heart. And I also want to say, and I'll probably say this again later, but I'm going to tell you what I did and what God did. But just remember, it didn't always turn out perfect if you do the right thing. But what's an important thing you need to remember? You have to do the right thing. And God will bless it. So my mother and father, they divorced when I was young. And actually, there were a lot of things that weren't told me. And so I had this preconceived idea that it was my father's fault and blah, 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 blah. So when I was younger, we had a pretty good relationship. But it was one of those come and get me on weekends. And so I didn't have the kind of relationship maybe some of you have with your father and, you know, that day to day. But that was fine. I called him once in a while, but it wasn't this, you know, the kind of relationship you have with your father, or maybe you don't. And I hope maybe this encourages you. So Charles had been a pastor for several years, and one day this is the Ten Commandments. He was preaching on the Ten Commandments. Now we all know the Ten Commandments. I used to teach Sunday school a lot, and I have this little system that I teach all my kids. And there are grown adults now that tell me they can still quote all the Ten Commandments because of the little things I taught them, you know, the little word pictures and all that. And Charles was preaching away, and he came to number 5. And the 5 is a happy face. Mother and father, the happy face, number 5. You'll always remember that number 5 is honor your mother and father. You'll never forget it now, see? So, I knew the Ten Commandments, and, you know, I'm telling you that day when he preached that, and you know you've experienced this, I have never had so much conviction in my heart because it was all up here. Oh, yes, I honor my father. I honor my mother. I honor my father. Yes, I'm not bitter towards my father. I'm frustrated. And I was smitten in my heart. So the first thing that God began to do in me is the iniquity was exposed in my own heart. And I realized it had to come from here and go to here. So then I said, well, Lord, my dad and I didn't have an adversarial relationship. It's sort of like if somebody you went to school with 10 years ago called you on the phone, you hadn't talked to them in a long time. That's kind of how it was if we talked on the phone. You know, there wasn't a real warm and fuzzy, whatever you want to say it. So I thought, well, Lord, my dad and I don't have an adversarial, but I truly want to honor and forgive my dad for the past. And I won't go into everything. He didn't come to my wedding and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was laying low, you know, and you just sort of, or you put it in the back of the closet, and you never see it in the back of the closet till you clean out your closet, and you go, oh, that's where that purse has been all this time. So then you clean out, when the iniquity is exposed, you go, oh, that was back behind my heart, you know. Okay, let's deal with it. So God exposed the iniquity in my heart. And so I just started praying and asking the Lord, Lord, how? What? And my dad may never come around, but what can I do? What can I do? So the first thing I did, and here's another thing too, because I've talked to people that have gone through things. There was a lot of stuff in the past, so when this starts, I found my dad, I'm going to tell you later, my dad gets real sick, and I find out some truths that were never shared with me. So you tend to think, oh, if only I'd have done this, if only I'd have known that. Oh, Daniel and Micah would have known their grandfather more. Da-da-da-da-da. You just have to stop. And you say, what do I do right now, Lord? What investment do you want me to make? So I did. So I got a little scrapbook, and I put pictures of Daniel reading his Bible, and I tried to make it spiritual, you know. And then he, just neat little, you know how you scrapbook. You all do that. So I sent it to him. So then I get a phone call, and he just thanking me for the scrapbook and everything. And now my father's the only one that's ever called me Pamela, because that really is my name, Pamela. So I hadn't had a birthday card from my dad in 30 years, 20 years. I get a birthday card. It's happy birthday, Pamela. Here's some money. Take the guys out to eat, and then you spend it on something you would like. And I'm like, wow, okay, that's weird. Yeah, steak. You know, boys are going, oh, can we pick the restaurant? No, you know, this is my thing. So just that slowly investment, and then I began to, you know, try to call him more. So then I told my dad, Daniel's going to a ministry up in Eagle Mountain and everything. And my dad said, well, I'd like to pay for you to go up there, the gas. I'm like, wow, okay, that's cool. So the investment, and it was, that's just a simple investment, a little scrapbook, praying, you know, calling him more. And so God began to do something in this situation. So then, I'm trying to think, it was 2001 or something. My dad, so our relationship was better, but it wasn't, you know, the way you want it. You know, not yet. Not yet. So I was told that my father had liver cancer and that he was dying. And he had drank all his life and had the wrong kind of lifestyle, so I was not shocked. So my brother, I lived in Memphis, and I lived in Kentucky, and I used to live in Memphis. He lived in Memphis. So my brother called and said, I've just got this new job. Can you come up and kind of take care of, help me with Dad? So they put him in the hospital, and so they told him there was no reason to have chemo, you know, just get your life in order and get ready. So I'm in the Memphis hospital, and there was this one nurse, and she was taking care of like 150 people. And she was flying all over the place. She falls and breaks her arm. So guess who becomes the nurse? Me. I hate blood. Once I was with my mother in the hospital, and she's calling the nurse corps, and she goes, what's the matter? She goes, my daughter. I'm like this. I can't stand the smells of hospital. I'm serious. I do not like to go to hospitals. And I'm like, no way is this going to work. I said, okay, Lord, this is your plan. We can do this. I hope I don't start crying. That's okay. God may, if that hat starts looking creepy because she's taking pictures, y'all give me the... Because you know, in all the pictures, I'm doing something weird if you've been here before. It's always the case. So anyway, I'm trying to be dignified today, right? But y'all, I am, with a shadow of a doubt, convinced that God caused her to break her arm. And I became my dad's nurse. So God was giving me the opportunity to do what I've wanted to do all my life. Just minister to my dad with the love of Christ, you know? And I was so excited. I'm like, we're going to do this. Well, because of the infection that was setting up, he had false teeth. There was always, I know this is going to get gross. You might want to cut the mic. I don't know. The gunk gets all in there. So I said, oh, Daddy, let me get the swabs. I'll swab your mouth. And then I would go around into the sink and then go, and I'm scrubbing his teeth for him. Because I tried to make it, and I'm really, literally going, and I go, okay, God, I can do this. I can do this. So I'd go back and just try to keep him comfortable, you know. So my sons come up, Daniel and Mike, and they're a little bit younger. Daniel was about 15, or I don't know how old Micah was. And I'm getting to a real important scripture that says it all. So I step out and I come back, and they're in there with my dad. They're watching football. They're talking like they've known each other all their life. And I'm like, you're doing this for me, God. You are doing this, because all I did was simply confess what was in my heart, did a little investment, and you're saying, okay, Pam, this is what I'm going to do for you. And I was thrilled. And you know what the scripture came to me? God restored the years that the locust had eaten. You know what locust does? It just comes in and wipes it out. And all these years, I thought, you know, all of that was just wiped out. And then the next thing I'm going to tell you really sealed it. So I have a brother that's real high drama, even more than me. And there was a lot of dynamics, and I won't even go into that. And so he had got me all upset, and he leaves, and I'm standing there. My dad is dying in the bed, and here I'm, you know, I'm all upset, and I'm like, get a handle. My father calls me over to the bed and says, Pamela, because that's what he calls me, do you love me? And I said, yes, Daddy, I love you. And he said, do you know I love you? I said, yes, Daddy. That was his way of asking forgiveness. Because there have been a lot of things. He didn't come to my wedding, you know, a lot of misunderstandings. And I'm like, wow. And we have hope that my dad might have known the Lord. We found out later he'd been reading his Bible, and we found out the little scrapbook was next to his Bible after he died. So that was kind of cool. And I'm like, he's asking forgiveness. And it's like, I just can't even explain to you. I just cherish that. All the years that were the locusts had eaten, it was like it was all restored. You know, I got my dad. We have this great relationship. And he would tell everybody, now everybody out of the room, she's the only one that can minister to me. And she's the only, and I mean, I was literally putting him, he quit going to, literally putting him, and he was literally letting me, you know what I mean, take care of the business as a nurse. And that, but you know what? All of a sudden, I wasn't sick anymore. I just, you know, I just loved on my dad. It was just amazing. So we're sitting there, and he's under anesthetic because, you know, you start getting sicker and sicker, and you're in pain. And he starts talking. And I'm like, whoa, I don't think he realizes what he's talking about. But I'm listening because this is good stuff. He starts talking about what really happened between him and my mom. And I know it's the truth because he's under drugs and he's not making this up, you know. And so I start learning. It's like God gave me the truth, you know, and now I could understand why, when someone's lost, they're going to do the natural thing. We've got to remind ourselves of that. They're doing this because they don't have Christ. They don't have God. They don't have the power to stop doing this. We have the power to confess and to stop doing it. And it just kind of, I just can't, maybe I can't explain it if you've ever gone through anything like this. And so it's like I got the truth and God just restored that relationship. And it was beautiful and it was forgiveness. And I have hope that my dad's in heaven because he was so calm before he died. And we heard he'd been reading his Bible and the little scrapbook. And ladies, we are more like God when we forgive, aren't we? That's the high ground. And I just share this with you because, and there's been times in the ministry I have asked forgiveness for people and I didn't get it. But it's okay. Because there's something that happens to us if you're a believer. Because there was this one woman in our church. And she was going around getting a petition to get rid of my husband and blah, 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 and all this, you know. And I thought, don't meet her in the dark. She may not come back, you know. And then there again, I remember this so distinctly, the part about the investment. And I thought, Pam, it's not about what she does, because God is using that person in your life. And I heard she liked poems, and I thought, you know, I got to do something, because I was eating away. Because it's okay if you want to talk about me, but do not talk about my husband and do not talk about my children, right? Mama Bear is going to deal with it, okay? And so, and I knew that my husband, he was being accused of things that weren't true. And that happens in the ministry, and that's because we have remaining sin, and sometimes we don't act the way we're supposed to act. And I just gave her this book of poems, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't stand this woman. I'm sorry, but, you know. But the minute I made that initial investment, which is a simple investment, and gave her that book of poems, okay, I don't need to be a nurse anymore, right? We're done. Now, she never changed, and she was a thorn in our side, so we ended up leaving, but God changed me. And that's just kind of one I want to encourage you today. And I don't always do it. I'm not standing up here like some speaker, you know, it's got it all together. And no, in fact, before I got here, there were some more iniquities showing in my life. You know how God likes to prepare you for, it's an ongoing thing. But isn't it wonderful that we have a Heavenly Father that outrageously gets up and runs after us? Like that father ran after that son. That son did not deserve it. We don't deserve it. And he did that for us. And he saves us. And he cleanses us. And he wants to give you the desire of your heart. That was the desire of my heart. Every girl wants their father. Now, I know there are situations that it doesn't turn out this pretty. And I'm well aware of that. But I will say this, I have thought about this. What if my dad never did that? I'm still glad that I did everything in my human possible way to make an investment and to pray and to do what all I can do. And really, that's the main message here too. We have to do this, ladies. And we have, and I tell you, like I said, I'm always doing this. I mean, I am on the same path you are. I'm 62, but we're all in this together. You know, we're always picking up the pieces and starting over. His mercies are new every morning. But what are we supposed to do? Pursue peace with all people. And there's those undesirable people, too, that... And I've learned one thing, too, the older I've got. If you want grace, maybe you just need to remove yourself away from that person for a little while. You know, deal with that. But I just wanted to share this because we have to remember we still have a responsibility. We have to remember Christ, God the Father, ran after us and gave us. He took us in our sinful self. And, you know, he didn't say, you got to do this, Pam. And then the thing I marvel at is why? Why did God choose me? Because I wasn't going to talk about this, but you know how the Lord just, my sister just died Monday. But that was the answer to prayer because I had prayed so hard that it wouldn't happen here. And I'd have to get on a plane and blah, blah, blah. And God is graciously, we don't go till next week. But my sister died in her trespasses and sin. And I marvel. What it does to me is, God, what? That could have been me. Why did you run after me? You outrageously came after me when I was dying in my sins. And you called me and you've redeemed me. And I'm not worthy. I'm just like that son in the pig pen. And I'm sometimes still in that pig pen. You know, some days you just... You know, you're like, I'll say, let me be slimy a little bit, and then I'll get up and do the right thing. You know. But I just want to encourage you because when we are most like, that's just been haunting me all week. When we are most like God, it's when we forgive. And there's a lot of people to forgive, but always remember. And what's the last part of Ephesians? What did I ask you? What did it say? Read it with me. Let's just read out loud, even if you have different versions. Somebody read it out loud, or I'll read it with you. If you have a different version, just say that version. Let's just read Ephesians together, because I want you to remember the whole reason we forgive. Let's start at the last, like, 32. Let's say it together. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And that's the reason why, isn't it? We have to forgive. And I think, I've often thought, God, what if I had not obeyed you? What if I just said, no, it's not my fault. I thought my dad walked, you know what I'm saying? And I could have done, and I've thought those things before I was converted. I used to think it was my fault. And I don't know if any of you come from broken homes. When I was young, I thought, what did I do, God? What did I do? Why did this happen? But now I realize this was God's plan for my particular life and what I needed. And, you know, you just think, what if I, you know, I could have used all the excuses, you know, what if I, well, it was his fault and I didn't, you know, but then, and I didn't obey that conviction, you know, at least make some investment. And Pam, really forgive your dad, you know, not just up here, you know. And I could only do that because Christ was dwelling in me, because, you know, left to ourselves, we won't. And sometimes when we're not walking in fellowship, we don't do that. You know, I'm guilty of that too. So I hope today that this encourages you. I really struggled this year. And then I was telling somebody else, everywhere I went, like I was at a breakfast with some friends, and she's 30-something, and she said, you know, I just call it anger and all. She said, but I need to forgive my mother. She's always treating me, even now at 30-something, that I'm not an adult. And she mentioned forgiveness. And then I went somewhere else and someone mentioned forgiveness, and I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to talk about, Lord. And it's for me too. We all can take this. I just hope this has encouraged you. I just wanted to share my personal journey, because there's other journeys in the ministry. And I'll tell you too, talking about the now, here's another flip side of forgiveness, too. It just come to me, and we got lots of time. There was a woman in my church, a very young woman. She had a little daughter. They were very poor. We lived in Arkabutla, Mississippi. Arkabutla means skull bones, and it was rural Mississippi. She lived in a little shack. She came to church. She would help in Vacation Bible School. But, I mean, she would never come by my house. I live right next to the church. She never really, you know, and I understand. You know, I mean, I've been on some hard times, but sometimes, you know, people just don't feel apart. Someone told me that I said something, and I probably did, but you know how you know I didn't say that, or I didn't mean it like that. Okay, let's put it that way. You say things, you don't mean it. But what I've learned, it doesn't matter how you meant it. How did that person hear it? And that's another aspect we could go into, because I'm guilty of that, the perspective. And I thought, well, I didn't say that. And then it hit me. It doesn't matter. And I'm going to tell you, I've done a lot of humbling things, but this one sticks out to me. And I said, I've got to go. And I don't want to tell this to make you think, you know, she's so spiritual. No, I agonized over this. I mean, I was shaking. And I went up to her little shack, and I knocked on the door, and I just begged for her forgiveness. I said, I heard you heard it this way. I didn't mean it. And would you forgive me? And I want you to know, from that day on, she would come by my house. Because, see, she saw we were on the same plane. It didn't matter if I had more money or I lived in a better house, the pastorium. We don't realize how powerful forgiveness is, do we? I don't think we do, how powerful. And it's really powerful, because that's the grandest thing. Like I said, the most outrageous thing God did was sending his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins. And so that was a thing that I had to do it, because it restored her faith in Christianity. And then she started coming on a regular basis. She brought her daughter. I taught her daughter in GAs and things like that. She got very involved. And then I thought, what if I hadn't humbled myself and whatever I had done, and I probably did it wrong, you know. I was trying to convince myself, I didn't say that, you know. I just thank God that I had he gave me the grace to do that. And so I just share my heart today that, and another aspect that's coming to me is, because I've been ministering. I minister to people sometimes. See, I kind of did this, and then the Lord stopped it. You know, like I said, you can say, well, if I'd have known that, Lord. See, what the problem why my dad didn't come to the wedding is my stepdad. I wanted my dad to walk me down and my stepdad, because my stepdad was part of my life. But I didn't know the truth about my stepdad, you know, the relationship and how this marriage broke up. So, of course, my dad being lost is going to do the natural thing. He's just not going to show up. And that just destroyed me. Well, now when I find the truth, when he was in his morphine stage, you know, giving it to me, I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then I start beating up on myself. Oh, Lord, I would have taken Daniel and Micah. But I wonder what kind of relationship, blah, blah, blah. And I used to do that a lot. You know, I'm like, oh, I've blown it. But then God says, no, Pam. When I peeked in to that hospital room, and you would think Daniel and Micah had been around this man for years. You know what I'm saying? They're laughing. And they said, and Daniel said this to me, and I will cherish it. He said, you know, Mom, feels like we've known Grandpa all our life. I was like, Jesus, thank you. It's wonderful. So I just hope this encourages you this week. And that's part of holiness, isn't it? You know, because if we aren't pursuing peace and we're not asking forgiveness, you know, we're just not going to be working out our sanctification in our life. So I don't know what's in your life. You know, everybody has a story. And I have prayed for some of you on your cards, and I know there's some tough times. You know, we come here and we think everything's fine, but, and I want you to know, I'm lifting you up. Like I said, it's not every day, but it rotates. I have a full card file. I don't know. Maybe the Lord has shown you there's someone you need to forgive. Or maybe you need to let go. You know, Charles used to preach his sermon, when people grab hold of a wire that's got electricity in it, you can't let go. But you think you've got the wire, but the wire's got you. The electricity's holding you. Now, does anybody know the only thing that's going to help that person that's got their hand and it's stuck on that wire and it's electricity's going with it? You know what has to happen? Another object, and then an object has to break it. And Christ has done that. When sin has a hold of, we have a hold of sin, you know, and we're just not letting go. The Holy Spirit comes, he breaks it, he knocks you down, and you move on. And that's just glorious. His mercies are new every morning. Thank God. Thank the Lord. And so, so I'd like us to bow. I just kind of feel like we just bow and take a few minutes and just kind of meditate on what was said. And then I'm just going to close us in prayer and may the Lord bless y'all. Let's just take a few minutes and just spend a little time and then I'll close us in prayer.